Hey, welcome to Politico Tech. It's Monday, September 25th. I'm Mohar Chatterjee, in for Stephen Overly. The biggest news the tech world is watching this week is the FTC's monopoly-busting lawsuit against Amazon. But the FTC has been leading the regulatory charge to tame U.S. tech giants for a while now. With Congress in a gridlock over data laws for the internet age and artificial intelligence adoption moving faster than policy can keep up, the FTC has proven to be a willing, outspoken enforcer of the few laws we do have on the books. And Sam Levine, director of the FTC's Bureau of Consumer Protections, is one of the key players on the front lines of defining market practices for big tech. On the show today, I talk to Sam about how a century-old agency is reinventing itself for the digital age, their tussles with Congress, and what it's going to take to stay ahead of the AI curve. Stay tuned. It might just be us, but the FTC seems like it's going really deep on tech issues right now. How big is this industry on your radar right now?
We are going deep on tech issues. You know, we have jurisdiction over just about the entire economy, but we do see particular concerns in tech. We've brought a host of serious privacy actions over the last year. We've also set really clear expectations around compliance with respect to generative artificial intelligence. And we've been active in the enforcement and rulemaking arena as well. So this is definitely on our radar, and we're just getting started.
So let's take a specific example here. You've set your sights on targeting data brokers that hoover up large amounts of personal information and then sell it without permission or transparency. And yeah, I bet a lot of folks do find this sort of commercial surveillance creepy. But you've got to prove in a court of law that these practices result in real consumer harm. And the FTC has lost recent legal battles over that question. I'm talking about the Kochava case here. So how do you make an argument for data privacy that a judge will buy?
Well, let me start by saying we're not targeting any industry in particular. What we're targeting are practices that we believe are harming consumers or deceiving consumers. You know, I don't want to talk extensively about ongoing litigation. What I will say is that the court dismissed our initial complaint, but gave us a chance to refile our complaint against Kochava, and we did so. And one of the things the court found in its ruling is that invasions of privacy can be cognizable harms under the FTC Act. And we actually think there's a lot in that ruling that gives us a path forward to challenge these types of practices in court. Our revised complaint, our amended complaint, is under review by that court. We're optimistic about it. It's currently under seal. And we're confident that as we confront new challenges in the marketplace, new problems in the marketplace, that we can prevail in court and that we can protect consumers' privacy.
The FTC announced over a year ago that it would look to propose new rules to protect people from these kinds of data collection practices. How close are you to proposing final rules?
So I can't give a timeline on that, and I can't indicate if we're going to issue a rule. You know, what I will say generally is we receive more than 11,000 comments, which reflects a lot of interest in this issue. And what I've also said publicly is that we are going to use all the tools we have to protect consumer privacy. We've been extremely active in enforcement over the last year, but we continue to see problems. We have rulemaking authority, and we're prepared to use it. But I don't have any news on that for you today.
Building on that, on those principles, in May, FTC Chair Lina Khan pitched the FTC as a vigorous regulator for the AI industry in the U.S. You made note of that. And your agency has already taken a direct swing at the industry, opening a consumer protection probe against OpenAI. What's the breadth of your office's role in that regulation effort that Khan was talking about?
So I can't confirm the existence of any investigation. Those are non-public. What I will say generally is that the Bureau of Consumer Protection has authority to enforce a congressional law, the FTC Act, which prohibits unfair or deceptive practices. That is a broad and flexible authority that we've used on everything from the radio to the internet, and now we're using it around the use of artificial intelligence. So we have quite broad authority in this area, and we also, as the chair referenced, have rulemaking authority. So we recently proposed a rule that would prohibit impersonator fraud. We know that, or we have serious concerns that people are going to use AI to impersonate businesses or impersonate the government to cheat people. And that's why we're sharpening our toolkit to ensure that if when we encounter these practices in the marketplace, we can hold those actors accountable. So I think we have a significant role here, and that's why we're being active.
And let's sort of contrast that against the pace of the real marketplace. AI adoption in the economy is moving lightning quick, and that's certainly faster than any sort of agency investigation can realistically play out. So beyond issuing guidance for consumers and companies, can we actually expect to see the FTC playing a defining role in setting standards for the AI companies?
I think you can expect to see the FTC moving very quickly in this area to make clear what our expectations are for compliance and for protecting consumers. In fact, we just a couple of weeks ago secured a preliminary injunction against a company called Automators AI that was claiming, as we allege in the complaint, that they could use machine learning and artificial intelligence to get people rich quickly. We are a small but very nimble agency, and I think we're going to be very active in this space over the months to come. You're right, technology moves very fast. Government does not always move very fast. But I think if you look at the FTC's words and deeds over the last few months, we're moving pretty quickly.
Love that. And this is something I'm fascinated by. We talked about this in a previous thing. The FTC's toolkit when it comes to regulating tech, you mentioned sharpening it. Tell me what that actually looks like. Are we talking more lawsuits, more rulemaking? Walk me through it.
That's a great question. I'll give you a concrete example. We have had since, I think, 2009 or 2010, a statute on our books called the Health Breach Notification Rule. We had not ever enforced it until 2023. But what we realized when we took a closer look at the rule is that this rule actually requires companies that share people's sensitive health data unlawfully to come clean with the public. And we used that rule in our first case against GoodRx, which we charged was sharing sensitive medical information with Facebook and others for advertising purposes. And we actually secured a prohibition on that company's ability to share sensitive health data for advertising purposes using both the FTC Act. And again, we also allege the Health Breach Notification Rule. So we're using our existing tools. We're brushing off tools we haven't used in a while. And I think we're recalibrating expectations around the kind of practices we want to see in the marketplace when it comes to consumer privacy.
Recalibrating expectations? Like, I'm just kind of curious about that turn of phrase. Like, you want to see better from the tech industry? Is that what I'm hearing?
We absolutely want to see better from the tech industry. People who are turning over their medication information, trusting that to apps, to different tech companies, I think have a reasonable expectation that their sensitive health data is not going to be shared with advertisers or for advertising purposes. We brought another case against a fertility tracking app. I think most consumers who share information on whether they're trying to conceive don't expect that that information is going to be shared with others and used to target them with ads. It's really important that companies pay attention to how they are handling sensitive data. That's why we've had to bring a lot of lawsuits. We're not eager to bring more. We want companies to take this seriously and bring themselves into compliance.
We'll be right back. I want to touch upon something that's sort of been an underlying issue here. The FTC has come under fire from the GOP before for overstepping its authority as a regulator. I'm paraphrasing some of their arguments here. And going back to the question of AI, certainly AI wasn't contemplated when the agency was given its existing authority. We just talked about revamping a lot of tools to try and like tackle that issue. But talk to me about the balance of trying to avoid the accusations of overstepping authority while you step into this landscape as an enforcer. What are the gaps here that you're trying to fill, and what can you simply not do?
Well, it's a very good question. So the FTC was founded in 1914, and our authority to go after unfair deceptive practices was given to us in 1938. And I certainly can't argue with the fact that no one was thinking, I don't think, about artificial intelligence during the Roosevelt years. That said, we have used that tool. Again, we used it in the era of radio. We used it on some of the early television ads where people were marketing cigarettes, for example. During the early days of the internet, we brought some of our first online privacy cases in the mid to late 1990s. And we're prepared to use it with AI as well. I'll give you an example from a previous era. You know, at the dawn of this decade, of this century, in the early 2000s, it was under a Republican chairman, Tim Mures, that the FTC first started using its unfairness authority to challenge lax data security practices, which is now a core part of our enforcement work. So, you know, my point is, across administrations, across different leadership of the FTC, we recognize, and indeed Congress recognized when it gave us this authority, that as technology adapts, we need to adapt as well, and that these tools are designed to be flexible, designed to protect the public, even as technologies change.
That's kind of the tension around rulemaking now for technology, has been for a while. The idea that you need to have something agile that's able to move with the times. Questions about what you'd like to see Congress put in your hands in terms of power over this sort of emerging sector, slices of it that you're sort of like, hey, Congress, we can't do this without your help.
So I feel quite confident, and we've put out a lot of guidance making clear that we believe the FTC Act is a viable and strong tool against unfair deceptive practices we see in the market. We're certainly, I'm not in a position to do so, but the commission is certainly prepared to go to Congress where we see gaps in our authority. I can tell you one area where we've already been quite public is that 3 years ago, the Supreme Court took away our ability, largely took away our ability to get money in federal court for against companies that engage in unfair deceptive practices. One tool we certainly need to strengthen our work in this area is restoring our ability to get back money to consumers who've been cheated. So that's one example. But again, as a general matter, when it comes to our core ability to stop practices that are unfair, to stop practices that are deceptive, we think we're well equipped. And where we do see gaps, we will be very upfront, as I said in a speech I gave just 2 days ago, we will be very upfront with Congress about what we need.
I'm going to take a little bit of a sidestep here and venture back into lawsuit land. The FTC just added 3 Amazon executives to its lawsuit against the company for allegedly deceiving people about their Prime memberships. And I know you're not allowed to comment on a bunch of that stuff, but what's the message you're trying to send to the tech industry by adding executives to the lawsuit?
So this really isn't about sending messages. You're right, I'm not going to talk about any individual lawsuit, but when we name individuals, this isn't really about sending a message to the industry. It's about accountability. It's about equal justice under the law. You know, we have routinely sued for many, many years individuals who engage in fraud, as well as the companies that they're a part of. And one of the things I've made clear generally, and our chair has made clear generally, is that it doesn't matter if you're a C-suite executive or you're operating in a boiler room, engaging in telemarketing. If you're deceiving people, if you're cheating people, we're prepared to hold you accountable. To us, that's just about the rule of law and equal justice under the law. And that's how we make our charging decisions. And that's why we've had, I think, such a successful track record in court.
Many of your actions, your public statements have been around changing the underlying economic incentive to do consumer harm. I'm curious about how you're expecting to do that as an agency at this point for a tech industry that's gone so many years without, solid oversight or regulation. You know, how are you hoping to that sort of seismic shift?
Look, I'm going to be honest with you. It's really tough. These are really powerful industries with a business model that's grown deeply entrenched. But we are seeing a lot of problems. I've laid out some of those problems here and in the remarks I gave this week. And I think the best thing we can do is remind the market, remind these businesses that they're always going to have the incentive to make big profits. That what that often means is collecting data, collecting as much data as possible, monetizing it any way they can. But what we want to remind the marketplace is that there's a countercurrent, and that is the FTC Act. If companies are collecting information in a way that harms the public, If they're deceiving the public in order to collect that information, they can face consequences from us and from other agencies in the government. So part of this is just sending a message that, you know, we want companies to succeed. We want companies to hire people and make great products and innovate and be successful. But they need to always be thinking about, are their practices, are their business practices harming consumers? Are their business practices deceiving consumers? Are their business practices complying with the laws in the book, like COPPA, like the Fair Credit Reporting Act? And when they don't, we need to hold them accountable. And that's, I think, what we've done very aggressively over the last couple of years.
As a calendar check-in, we're looking at a government shutdown. Walk me through how that's going to affect the FTC's ongoing work in tech regulation in your office. How are your open investigations, lawsuits going to be affected?
Well, I don't want to speculate. And like many people, I'm hoping and praying and wishing that the government stays open. But look, the work we do day in and day out, and we have a small but mighty staff. Our whole agency has fewer than 1,500 people. The Bureau of Consumer Protection has about 450. We are working very hard every day to protect the American public from fraud, to protect people's privacy, to get money back to people who have been cheated. And if the government shuts down, that work gets shut down. Now, earlier this week, we announced that we would begin distributing redress from our Epic Fortnite settlement, where we secured a $245 million judgment based on consumers having been tricked into unauthorized charges. If the government gets shut down, we can't distribute that money. And that's just one example of the day-to-day work we do to look out for the American public, to look out for American consumers. And if the government gets shut down, that work gets shut down. So I really hope that the government can stay open. We're not the only agency doing a lot of good for the American people. And what I'll say is if the government does shut down, as soon as we reopen, we're going to get right back to work.
And with that, those are my questions.
You promised rapid fire, and that was not a deceptive claim.
I'm glad to have that from the FTC's consumer protection chief to say that I'm not being deceptive. I feel like I got a stamp of some kind.
Stamp, seal of approval.
That's all for today's Politico Tech. Register for Politico's live AI and tech summit happening next Wednesday. You can register online at politico.com/AI Tech Summit. For more tech news, subscribe to our newsletters, Digital Future Daily and Morning Tech. Music in today's episode comes from the mysterious Breakmaster Cylinder. Our senior producer is Annie Rees. Our editors are Steve Heuser, Daniela Cheslow, and Louisa Savage. I'm Mohar Chatterjee. See you back here tomorrow.